Hi, everybody, and a warm welcome to a brand new episode of The Joy of Logistics. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time and for joining in today. And also thank you for your curiosity and your interest in logistics, but not only in logistics, but also in fantastic concepts and companies and how we are going to change and to shape the future. So appreciate it. And in fact, maybe you're just tuning in the first time today, and you're asking yourself, okay, Joy of Logistics, okay, what's that? And who's this Christoph guy? Let me introduce myself. My name is Christoph. I'm the host and founder, if you want to like that, of the Joy of Logistics podcast. I've been active in the logistics industry now for a decade. And what I've seen is there are fantastic people and fantastic companies and great concepts out there. Yet not everybody is aware of them, which is unfortunate. And I thought, hey, okay, maybe it's time to change that and to adjust that. So the Joy of Logistics series, or what the Joy of Logistics series really is more like a stage. It is a stage for out-of-the-box thinking people and out-of-the-box thinking companies, a stage to display their tools and their visionary concepts. So I'm very happy that many of you are joining in quite frequently. So that's really amazing. Gotta be honest, it's really amazing. Without further ado, I'm sure many of you, when you've been reading today's concept or reading today's title, set folding containers, I could imagine that many would be like, is he going nuts right now? What's going on? What is a set folding container? And I was asking myself the same question, and I thought, hey, it's just too good to be left out. And I'm very happy that he's here with us today, and that we are going to do a deep dive onto the topic of set folding containers. I've had the honor and the privilege, I would say, to meet him also in person this year in Munich in the transport logistics. So it's even better now to catch up. But without further ado, a warm welcome from the company of Navlandis, España, Roberto Fernandez.
Hello, good afternoon.
Thank you good for afternoon, this, Roberto.
Thank you for this nice presentation. Very kind of you.
You're welcome. And in fact, the pleasure is all mine, Roberto, because I know you're quite busy. You have a lot going on. So, I highly appreciate your time and that you're taking out of your day to meet with me and to meet with the other folks in the audience and talk a little bit about your fantastic concept. So appreciate it. Once again, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for the opportunity to talk with the people, with logistic people, because this is a extremely new concept, extremely new product. I'm also new in this market. I come from from the export market. I was in the other side, sending and importing, exporting and importing containers for many years. Now I had the pleasure to join this nice project because it's something really, really new in the logistics sector, and a fascinating project. I can tell you from inside that it's a fascinating project.
I believe that right away, Roberto. I believe that right away. You already got me when I first saw the first article and footage on LinkedIn. So Even better that you're here meeting with us and sharing some of this fascinating idea and concept. In fact, we're not alone. We already got John joining in today, who's a very loyal listener to this podcast, mm-hmm. which I appreciate. John, good afternoon to Virginia. Appreciate you tuning in and taking your time. I hope you have pen and pencil ready for today, because as always, there's going to be a lot of information to be shared. So stay tuned. Maybe first off, Roberto, can you give us a brief description? What a set folding container actually is.
Well, I'll go for a short introduction of Navlandis, mm-hmm. which is a logistic technology company that started to focus in the problem of empty containers. Because mm-hmm. We have plenty of containers going from one side of the world to the other side of the world. Import demanding ports and export demanding ports, dominant mm-hmm. ports. Mm-hmm. So plenty, basically we are talking about China sending containers to Europe and United States.
Right.
So the movement is unbelievable, and the number of containers that remain empty at the end of the trip is fantastic. So they need these containers in China again to load new goods. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. this is called imbalance of the trips. So these imbalances need to be repositioned. These containers must be repositioned. Being a movement representing a movement of around 40 million trips per year. So it's big, a huge amount of trips of just transporting air.
Wow.
So obviously this has a big cost, economic and environmental cost.
Right.
Economically, we can talk about $20 billion per year.
Oh my goodness.
That's more than I spend in a weekend. So in terms of environment, is this movements of empty containers release more than 200 million tons of CO2 to the atmosphere. So we focused on that in order to try to find a solution to improve the efficiency of these movements. So the consequences of these imbalances have been seen recently. Congestions in Los Angeles and big right. desperate actions, loading vessels with empty containers, the barges just with empty containers, putting empty containers everywhere in the city. Mm-hmm. And even some cases, some ports arrived to destroy old containers in order to release the space.
Oh, wow.
So how we can focus, how we can drive this solution? So there is a former chairman of a shipping line that told that folding containers is a dream of the shipping lines for a long time. Mm-hmm. Because you know that supermarkets, fruit, transport, et cetera, they are all the packaging is being folded to avoid space. So mm-hmm. the same solution, why this solution is not valid for the container? That's why Navlandis has focused the project. We have been working since 2015 on this mm-hmm. solution. The solution obviously is not new. Some projects were done since 1980. But unfortunately, to find a solution that is viable is really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have to have some points, some concepts in the design to succeed with that.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Yeah, you're making a fantastic point here, Roberto. I think everybody can recall those crazy pictures, especially Los Angeles, where those empty boxes yeah. were stacking up literally sky high. And I think many will remember this ridiculous scene where truckers have been leaving their empties on chassis in residential areas, blocking people from living out of the garage, right? And I think this in itself helped on a, you know, I would say on a broad public way, also to raise the need of finding a solution, you know, and also help to share the urgency of tackling this topic one way or another, right? And what I do think though is now after COVID, I just hope that people just don't forget how fast everything can literally build up and can clock everything, from a regular port to rail ramps to trucker yards, trucking chassis, obviously, of course, you name it. So, meaning that although these days you don't really see the consequences that much, other than listening to the Tour of Logistics podcast with Roberto Fernandez, other than that, I just hope that they don't forget what's going on, you know, and how desperate, I would say, the whole industry is to get something viable, as you already alluded to. And I agree, you know, depending on the port and on the trade lane, there might be different solutions out there. You know, I guess there is no one fits at all, which is fair enough. But at the end of the day, those are still topics that have to be tackled because they just don't go away, right?
Yeah, the problem is not because of COVID or because of this. The Port of Los Angeles was important because they show to the world the problem. But the problem exists not in the big routes, also in the small routes, inter-North, South Europe, North Africa, inside the Mediterranean area. So there is plenty of routes that you have imbalances. Because most of the African countries, they are importing ports, but they cannot export in the same volume.
Right.
So the problem is since the transport exists, you have not only containers, even trucks going and becoming empty, and they have to return empty. So this is the problem. Solutions have been tried. They wait for cargo match, and that's the reason. The container spends 50% of their life in waiting for cargo in depots and terminals around the world.
Wow, 50%.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a huge number, especially these days, you know, when so many people, you see that often on LinkedIn when so many companies are talking about, digitization, you know, making containers smart here and there. And I'm not saying it's useless. That's not my point. But I'm just trying to point out here that 50%, that's really a huge number, you know. And we are talking 2023. We are not talking 1960 or 1980s, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then this 50% is wild. This 50% is empty, waiting. Mm-hmm. We are manufacturing millions of new containers using new resources, using a lot of energy, issuing a lot of CO2 to the atmosphere. So we really have to find a solution to improve the efficiency in the transport.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So our vision in Navlandia's vision was, why don't fold these containers using less space, making it in a practical way to send them back in a fifth of the space. So you're keeping just 20% of the space. So this is our focus. This is how we conceived the solution. Mm-hmm. This is how we have been working since 2015. And this is the solution that came out in 2021. Wow. So we presented the first prototype of ZBox came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. We made a presentation in the port of Valencia with for some mechanism, etc. And first testing improved a little bit the system. In 2021, the end of 2020, we started with the first prototypes with commercial trips, moving goods, especially marble and stones, very heavy cargo to Africa. Very simple ports with no sophisticated mechanism, etc., because the idea, the conception is that the system has to be as simple as possible to be operated in any port around the world. So our first testing trips were from Europe to Africa. Well, the thing, these first prototypes have been improved a little bit, particularly in the terms of facilitating the production, not exactly in the product itself, but to make it easier to manufacture. And then the second version of the, this is in really is this, the sixth version, but this is the second in the in commercial trips. It's been navigating since the middle 2021. So we have 21, 22, and half of 23. More than 60,000 miles around the world, from Turkey to South America, in the coast of Africa. So many ports, many kinds of goods. And recently, in about 1 year ago, we have passed the rail test, which is especially dedicated to flexi tanks.
Okay, I hear you.
So our container have been loaded with any kind of good, even floor, which is very sensitive to water. People is quite scared about the tightness of the container, because when you unfold the container or fold the container, all the parts become separated. So it seems that it will come out water from all everywhere. But it's not true. When the container is closed and tightened, so everything is watertight.
Wow. Wow. I was just, I'm not really going to interrupt you, Roberto, but I was just thinking, let me just check on your homepage, because I do believe that you have a video up there. At least I can show it, because I think that this is also helpful to the audience. Let me check that real quick here. Okay, here, ZBox. Boom, there we go. Yeah.
Okay, so.
So let me just play this one. Perfecto. I think, here you can see it really good. Oh.
Oh, you see, this is... it's...
Oh, there we go.
It is a loop.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So you see, the Z-box comes exactly from what you are showing now, the form of the letter Z, when the walls slide one to each other. So they just have to unlatch the inside. So we have some structural latching pins. So you have to unlatch them, release them. Then the roof must be lifted to activate the mechanism, and then just lowered. So when the load, they go down, the walls automatically move like that.
Wow.
The contrary is valid. So when unfolding the container, the roof is lifted until the walls become in vertical, then activates the mechanism and fall down, and the walls will stuck in the roof, in the floor. Wow. Then you latch inside, closed, and the container is ready. It's an operation that takes around 10 minutes.
Well, that's not nothing.
All the cycle, not the folding process, because it's the folding and unfolding is it's 1 minute.
Wow, I mean that's amazing. And what I really like about it, as we've seen in this video footage, the simplicity behind it. You know, all it takes in this case, obviously, is a reach stacker and another container to fold it or unfold it, you know. So I do understand also how it was able for you guys to pull this off also with Africa, as you already alluded to, with regards to the equipment, or better to say with the type and quality of equipment over there. So that's really good. And in fact, I have the first comment that I'd like to pull over. John notes, so when you make it easier to ship containers, you reduce the need to manufacture new ones.
Correct.
Appreciate the comment, Joe. You're absolutely right, John. Thank you.
Obviously, the idea is not to stop production of new containers, because you need a reposition of containers every year.
Right.
The thing is that we want to reduce this production to the necessary production, not producing new containers just to cover the demand of or the lack of empty containers that can be folded and transported to the demanding ports.
Really great. It's really a great concept, definitely, especially now that we've also seen it in practice at the end, you know, how it's intended to be used or how it's even used on a daily business. So now that we've also seen how it works also from a physical point of view, is there something that you would say that you need as a prerequisite that a port or certain ports have to have in order to start working with you guys? Let's just talking about infrastructure or maybe some type of machinery that you say, okay, you really need to have X, otherwise it won't work.
No, definitely the container is conceived to be operated with any standard equipment available anywhere. It means you can do the folding process with the reach stacker, which is the most common equipment, taking the roof for the four corners. This is the only requirement, really, to can be a side loader. In this case, you have seen in the video, they have an empty container on the top of the folded one, because the side loader can take only two corners, right? And you need to take the four. That's why it's easy. Our empty container is the easiest thing to find in the depot. So you take one empty container with two, put over the Z-box, then you can move it up and down, exactly like a reach stacker or whatever. So it can be even, we had some testing made by the army with a forklift. It's it can be used in the our warehouse. We used to fold. We tested with I don't know how it is in English, but it's the winch. This is the the winch that we have in the warehouses, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So taking the 4 points, so we do that with we can fold and unfold inside the warehouse. It's no problem. It's very simple mechanism. So you don't need anything extra special to do the operation of the container.
Awesome. That's really fantastic. And I can imagine the flexibility behind it, you know, not just port wise, as you already alluded to. You don't need like the biggest, latest equipment equipped ports, you know, most sophisticated ports. You can even do it in a warehouse, you know, just think about those possibilities. I mean, wow, yeah. that's really crazy. I mean, wow.
Yeah, well, we are, in our future plans, we are, we also plan to start to design and create a folding station just to improve productivity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. but not because it's necessary. It's mm-hmm. so you can, it can be done in Ghana, it can be done in South Africa, it can be done in Los Angeles with same simplicity, mm-hmm. the same equipment they have already there.
Wow. That's really great. It's really fantastic, though. And you've already touched base now on some commodities that you've been handling, just like the floor, for instance. Is there anything that you'd say, okay, don't use it for, I don't know, oil or something? Is there anything that you'd say, okay, maybe step away on that? Or is there something that you say you definitely have to use our Z-Box when you're manufacturing or importing product? Why?
Well, we, as I told you, we have been tested and approved for flexi tanks, so we can mm-hmm. we can transport liquids in flexis or oils, etc. Some mm-hmm. bulk products with liners inside the container. So what we consider the container, the Z-Box, is exactly the same dimensions of a standard container, the mm-hmm. same maximum gross weight, the same stacking and the same racking test resistance. So it works exactly like a 20-foot container standard. So mm-hmm. whatever you can do with a normal container, you can do with the Z-Box.
Fantastic.
Obviously, that's you cannot do with what you cannot do with the standard container, you cannot do with the Z-Box.
Right. So, yeah.
So it's not advisable for some kind of pharma products or cosmetics or something like that that need other kind of temperatures or protection mm-hmm. against temperature. But mm-hmm. I can tell you that we have also been used for radiation, radioactivity waste.
Oh, really? Wow.
So it's the variety of products inside, it's fantastic. As I told you, floor, which is one very particular and very sensitive, mm-hmm. radioactive products, which must be cared with some, or loaded with some care. Mm-hmm. Some protection, mm-hmm. flexi tanks. We have been transporting marble in mm-hmm. big stone of marble inside, tiles, garments. So plenty of uses.
Fantastic, really great. That's really fantastic. And one second, we have John. I want to pull this up real quick. John says, as a former yard manager, I would have rather had containers full of rolling stock instead of a yard full of empty containers. However, mm-hmm. if I had to have empty containers, it would have been more practical to have folded containers, thus having a smaller footprint within the yard.
For sure. This is the folding the containers have... basically saving 80% of space in yards. So in the place you put, wow. let's say, a column of mm-hmm. four or five, mm-hmm. right, empties, it's dangerous to be more than five because the wind can make them mm-hmm. fall. Mm-hmm. If you stack them folded, right, there is air in between and five mm-hmm. in the space of one. So you can make piles of nine.
Wow.
It means 45 containers folded in the place of one. So in one footprint, so you can have 45, up to 45 containers.
Wow, this is crazy.
So for this is for yard managers or for terminals, must be unbelievable the number of units they can manage and they can store.
Right. I was just trying to, you know, do a little calculation in my mind on that, but I got to be honest, I can't even keep up with the numbers. I mean, the savings, this is incredible. You know, the number of, or the amount of space that you're literally making available, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy. It
you
really
can imagine,
is.
You can imagine. I don't know all the ports in the world, but I know the city of Valencia, and it's a small city. It's only 1 million people, and the port is just encrusted in the city. So mm-hmm. you have no space to grow up. Everything, mm-hmm. every growth must be done outside the city. So if you just take the depots inside the port or terminals, and you start to use the foldable containers, they start to be more common. So they just multiply by five. So you reduce the number of trucks moving in and out. You reduce the number of the space available, the need of space. So mm-hmm. it's the solution is really fantastic. And fortunately, mm-hmm. Our solution is working.
Right. And you just gave a fantastic idea, or no, not an idea, a fantastic example of the specific characteristics that ports can have. Valencia is a fantastic example. Hamburg is another fantastic example. Just as Valencia, built more or less in the middle of the town, or other way around, the town has been built around the port. So you cannot grow. There is simply just no space anymore, other than Rotterdam, where you just go and build right inside the ocean, you know, no matter what. And I think New York is the same. I think they're having the same challenges. You know, they're also encrusted by the town. So what you're going to do, tear down some buildings? You know, it's not going to work, you know. But with a solution like yours, you can leave everything as it is and just exchange a small little point or part, better to say, out of the equation, which is the container itself. And that's, wow. This is really tremendous. I mean, those numbers that you've been sharing, good Lord.
And there is another thing that is also important. So it's the digitalization. So we have in the ZBox has also a digital system to track mm-hmm. them, and also to know if the doors are open or closed, or if the container is folded or unfolded, to know the temperature inside the container. So all this information, all this digitalization is now becoming common and in all kind of containers, all competitors, or even individual equipment, individual devices mm-hmm. to be placed in the existing containers. So if you improve the efficiency in the space and also improve the efficiency, the intelligence in the management of these containers, mm-hmm. the containers mm-hmm. can help you to manage better. So mm-hmm. you reduce the need of space and you improve the efficiency in the controlling. So you mm-hmm. can, in the same existing areas, in the same existing ports, so you can improve the capacity of transport, of movement of cargo by equis, by I don't know, by three, by four, by five, right? It's
but it's tremendous, and especially, and that's also a great point that you just brought up, Roberto, is If you've been, or if also the audience has been following my post on LinkedIn, as you can see up there, hashtag Planet Logistics. It's also a point that I'm very fascinated about, you know, those turning containers smart. But what I've noticed is each and everybody understands something different around smart. You know, for one, it's just traceability. Okay, you know, the container is now in New York. Okay, you know, next week it's in Los Angeles. Okay, that's it. Others, especially on the reefer container side, they are taking it further, just like you guys, where you can also measure temperature inside, obviously, which you need for a reefer container, but also whether or not the door is locked, and especially things like door locking, etc., especially on a standard container, not talking about a reefer where you can say, okay, yeah, I need to know because my fruit's inside, I have to prove it to some, okay. But for standard containers, this is really something game-changing, I believe, you know. It really has huge potential because simply nobody's...
It's important to know. We have also thought that the intelligence of the container must go ahead of traceability. Because if you know the container is this vessel, and the vessel starts in Argentina, Buenos Aires, and finish in New York, so since it's loaded in Buenos Aires till this unloaded in New York, the container is in the vessel, right? So you don't need to trace it. But intelligence or smart means more than that. Means what you said. I need not always not all the cargo is temperature sensitive, but most of the cargo can be affected for the temperature. Or if there is any problem with the temperature with the cargo, I can check if the container has a excess of temperature inside, so it can be checked. It also can be checked if there is a big chalk in the container. So we have a sensor for that, accelerators for that. So we know exactly when and how was the intensity of this chalk. So if there is any problem with the insurance, so the container can tell us where the accident happened, which was the temperature at that time, the humidity at that time, et cetera, et cetera. So it's increasing. It works like a life a bodyguard to the product.
I like that. You know, if I've had known that before, I would said I would call this episode "Sea Folding Containers: The Bodyguard of the Product." I really love that. That's really good.
fantastic.
No, jokes aside, but that's actually the perfect example. And I do believe that many companies now, whether that's a forwarder, whether that's a BCO importer export, doesn't really matter. But this can only be beneficial because, as you already alluded to, you know, if you have questions about it because you're like, oh man, where did that chalk occur? Was it in the port? Or and you're like, okay, no problem. You know, I can log in. I can... you know, check down the data and say, okay, it happened exactly there, you know? And
exactly.
Boom. It just helps each and everybody involved because that's something that you can share, as you said, also with insurance companies. So, you know, you basically take away excuses. Could be on the water. Who knows? You know, could have been falling down from a crane. Who knows? It's just helpful for each and everybody involved. So that's really a fantastic feature that you guys have in there. That's
let try to impress a little bit more. So when the container becomes really smart, when the chalk exists or an alarm of temperature exists, the container can tell the owner or can tell the responsible for the cargo and even to the insurance company. They can exchange this information, and everything is ready. Reposition of goods can be activated immediately if the, mm-hmm. the good has been damaged. So mm-hmm. a lot of improvements can be done when you really think in the container being smart.
Right. I mean, just think about how easy things get, you know, like literally, you know, that's really amazing. It's really amazing what you can pull out of this container or other way around what the container is telling you, because, you know, unless you don't hear anything from the container, everything is fine. You know, that's also, it can also give you peace of mind. I mean, just think about depending on the product you're shipping. And let me maybe just jump real quick on the example that you provided earlier with regards to the nuclear waste. Mm-hmm. Just try to imagine you are responsible for transporting these products, and you know, hey, okay, I'm covered because I got my bodyguard, I got the container, you know, he's mm-hmm. taking care. And unless I don't hear anything from the container, everything is fine. And that makes it really convenient, right?
If something happened, there is an alarm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. This is our conception of a smart container. So this is what we have in the Z-Box. We know when the container is folded, when the container is unfolded. So this kind of things are very, it's important to know. Because if there is any damage, if there is any damage in the container itself, mm-hmm. so we can learn from the kind of accident or the kind of damage suffered, mm-hmm. what was the situation of the container at that point? If it is folded, open, closed, etc., etc., etc.
Perfect. So it's also a form of a PDCA cycle, meaning plan, do, check, act. Basically, you're taking the data that your very product, which is the container, is telling you, mm-hmm. and then you know exactly the areas where you can focus on and improve, right? Wow.
Correct.
Wow. That's really cool. I like that. I really like that. Good.
Fantastic.
I wouldn't be surprised if people in the audience, or even if afterwards, if they're listening to this episode, because we'll be able on YouTube and also on Spotify, amongst other. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody listening will ask himself, okay, interesting concept. Okay, I got it. Yeah, maybe that's something for me as well. On which routes or trade lanes are you already active? Because I do think that that's also a question where someone is asking, I don't know if they are already in my yard as well. Are they serving my port too? So maybe that's a good question for you to answer.
Fantastic. Thanks. It's an opportunity to tell that the container is traveling in different areas. We have mm-hmm. we are not the owners of the routes, right? Our mm-hmm. business model just to lease the container to the client. So we mm-hmm. sit together, we study some routes where they have imbalances, and we propose to lease some units in order to minimize the imbalances and maximize the availability of empty containers in the loading ports, mm-hmm. right? Because sometimes mm-hmm. they have empty containers, but they are the other side. So they need them in this side. So our first approach to the clients are that we sit together and check the routes. Mm-hmm. Then we lease the container, the number of containers they need to solve that route. Mm-hmm. Presently, there are not too much, the fleet is not that big. So mm-hmm. we have to concentrate in round trips. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean just port to port, but can be port A to port B to port C to port 8 again, right? So it's a circular route mm-hmm. because we mm-hmm. have to control the number of containers. Mm-hmm. So we have routes between Europe, Turkey, West mm-hmm. Africa, mm-hmm. right? This is one route. We have another client doing routes between South Europe, North Africa. They fold mm-hmm. the containers, go by truck to other port. In the other port, they unfold the containers again, load with different cargo and come back to Europe. And we have established route between North Europe and South America. This is a point-to-point route. This is, this route is with FlexiTank.
They send
oil to from North Europe to South America. 7 weeks trip.
Wow.
And then we unload the container and fold it. So after being 7 weeks in the vessel with the FlexiTank inside, which is the most one of the most demanding cargoes for the resistance of the containers. And the containers were folded without any problem. Till now, we cannot tell any experience about maintenance because we didn't have. Fortunately, touch wood.
Very good.
So we have these three main routes actively working. We are now starting in September. We will start a trial between Europe and Japan. And we have some others is still in phase of study.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty cool. And maybe also a question on that as well, Roberto. Is there something like a, I don't know if break even is the right number, but is there like a certain mark where you say, hey, okay, if you are shipping, I don't know, 50 containers a month, that's definitely something you might look into. Or is it something where like, okay, you gotta have at least, I don't know, 150 or something.
If you want to take back 15 containers or 50 or 500, if you have to take them back empty, so you just divide by five, so you are saving money since the first five.
True. Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
So if you have to come to bring back from let's say Guinea, if you have to send containers and bring them empty, each five you bring empty, you just bring one.
Wow.
So if you have five, you divide it by five. So you bring one, you save four.
Wow.
It's also savings.
Okay, perfect. Then you've already made up the pitch and the calculation. Perfect.
It's very easy. It's very easy.
Wow. I mean, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think especially for all those companies working with SOC containers, I think this might be a major benefit. Obviously,
yeah,
of course, if they are having reefer containers, that's a whole different topic. But for regular standard SOCs, I mean, that's
for SOCs is the perfect solution. One of our clients is a big SOC.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they have a big number of containers moving around, and we are not substituting all the fleet because not all the containers come back empty, a certain number, but it's a big number. So this big number divided by five, so it's a very, very short number. The savings are quite interesting for them.
I believe that. I mean, just thinking about it, probably it's skyrocketing, I think. I mean, crazy. Let alone also the economic impact that you've been already alluding to earlier. No, sorry, not economic. The environmental. Sorry.
Yeah.
The environmental impact. That's the word I wanted to use. Are there? You've already alluded to the routing to Japan, but are there any other geographical areas, ports, routes, whatever, that you are intending to tackle, if you can share it, of course?
Well, we don't think in the growth based on the geographic areas. We think in the growth based on companies. And moreover, in routes, particular routes. So, obviously, our first approach or first idea of everybody that manufacture containers is to go to the first lines, to the bigger shippers, to bigger carriers. But they need a big number of containers to make mm-hmm. trials or to put in circulation in their fleet. Obviously, this strategy is not the correct for a company that is beginning like us, or I think that other startups. Mm-hmm. So we focused on smaller companies because they have more imbalanced routes. The impact of these savings in their financial results is probably more important than for mm-hmm. bigger companies. So sometimes we have one case in particular that a route was inviolable because mm-hmm. they have a little cargo to send to the country, but have nothing to send to come back. But they mm-hmm. need to come the containers to be back. Mm-hmm. So using foldable containers, the impact of this return is just 20% of the beginning compared with conventional containers. So it makes the route viable economically. Mm-hmm. So it's the difference in the small companies is much bigger. The effect is much bigger than in the big companies. So we focused our growth in this companies more than in geographic areas.
Mm-hmm. I like that approach.
It doesn't matter if it is in the Pacific, if it is in the Australia or in North Europe or North America. Mm-hmm. For us, mm-hmm. we just send the containers. They use the containers locally, and mm-hmm. they have the savings in their own routes. So it doesn't matter for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Absolutely. Maybe so I know you don't have a crystal ball, obviously, Roberto. But how do you envision to impact and also to change the market, let's say, over the course over the next, I don't know, 5 years or decade? Is there something that you can share with us?
Well, I think that we all agree that the logistics sector will continue growing mm-hmm. because it's population is growing and we need goods and mm-hmm. we need to move the goods from one side to another. So the thing is that all this industry need to gain efficiency. Mm-hmm. Naturally, containers, I think that containers will be a key piece on this in this growth in this mm-hmm. sector, and mm-hmm. we'll find in the next 5 years, 10 years probably a new generation of containers. The containers have been stocked since the last 60 years, remain exactly the same, small right. improvements in quality, materials, etc., but basically the same. Mm-hmm. Now I think that the change will be accelerated. So mm-hmm. we'll find this new generation of containers foldable for sure. I think mm-hmm. that definitely the containers will be foldable. New materials will come. Mm-hmm. The proof is that we have new containers coming with this composites, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Intelligence will be introduced definitely in the containers. The containers will be, as I told before, like the bodyguards of the goods, telling what happened with the goods and anticipating the actions with the goods. Because if something happened when you load the container in Buenos Aires, for example, there is a problem, the container falls and the goods are damaged inside, you only discover that when the container arrived in Europe and it's unloaded. Right. So if you can learn, if you can know this happened in the moment of the cargo, so mm-hmm. the replacement can be done in the next vessel. Mm-hmm. So the first mm-hmm. one is damaged, okay, no problem. It takes just 1 week to be replaced instead right. of 6-7 weeks that this actions to be taken now. So I think it's definitely foldable containers, new materials, and intelligence will be the future in the revolution of this new generation of containers.
Appreciate that. Yeah, that's a fantastic outlook.
It's my modest view of the future.
I like that. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. You got me. You got me on that, Roberto.
You buy it. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, but especially on the replacement, that just a thought coming to my mind as well. As you said, yeah, depending obviously on the routing, we're talking at least 4 weeks. 4 weeks out, yeah, until a potential damage is discovered, you know.
Correct.
And oftentimes what's happening, well, depends on the cargo too, but oftentimes what is happening that companies say, oh, good Lord, maybe we need that for project presentation, exhibition, whatever. Yeah. Okay, what they gonna do? Well, they take an airplane, you know, say, okay, we need air freight. It by tomorrow, meaning they spend extra big dollar to get it from A to B, literally across the globe overnight. Let alone
and all the environmental cost of CO2 emissions, etc., mm-hmm, etc., that is improving unnecessarily.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to make an example of this damages in weapons, it happened because some missiles can fail if they have a shock. So can you imagine if there is a shock, you receive a loading, a cargo with missiles, and all the missiles are damaged. So it's a very critical, very critical cargo.
Right. Yeah. I never thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right. And I wouldn't be surprised if there are other materials, you know, whether it's a special form of glass, or I could also imagine chemicals to some degree, you know, when they're like shaken and whatever. Not good.
Or they have an excess of temperature, for example. Right. Chemicals can be sensitive, yep, for that. So this can be foreseen with a certain, they can anticipate all the measures and can anticipate the damages and the solutions.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Great point on that. And I do agree that the, although everybody uses it, but that, yeah, it's just the way it is, right? The digitization or making, mm-hmm, containers smart. You know what? Forget it. I'll use your phrase. The container has to become way more the bodyguard, a way more committed bodyguard to its cargo than it is today. I think that sounds way better, right? Fantastic. I borrow this. I borrow this phrase, Roberto.
No problem.
No.
It will be fantastic if everybody thinks like that.
Right? Yeah.
Fantastic.
I agree. Yeah. I agree on that. And but yeah, that's indeed very, very helpful. And I just want to get another comment here real quick. John just notes there are manufacturers and shippers within the US that have closed loop routes but have yet to reduce their respective container footprints. That is actually a fantastic comment, John. As always, I appreciate it. I appreciate you. I think that's an even better question also for Roberto. Because if somebody listening right now says, hey, wow, that's really something I want to get a hold of or want to look into, or if anybody listens, knows somebody that is in a position that would be interested in bodyguards of your cargo. Mm-hmm. Okay. Roberto, how can they reach you?
Well, they can reach me through the website, and they have my phone number, and they have an email there. And I'll be free at any time. I'm 24 times by 7. There's no problem to reach me and contact me to make any question, any doubt, any inquiry they want. They can reach me.
Excellent. That's fantastic. And I just put it also real quick in the comment section, the link. It's zbox.neflandis.com/pound contacto.
Exactly. or 3Ws, navlandis.com. They have also the website. They have a way to contact me again.
Okay, wait, then let's note me that in real quick as well. Navlandis.com. Okay, so everybody is on the same page here, and that we make it very convenient for the people listening and interested people, of course, to reach Perfect. Out to you and to learn more about the Z-fold or Z-folding containers, the bodyguards of your cargo. And I see many people very happy and very satisfied with today's conversation. John has already sent you a connection request. That's fantastic. Pedro, great information and input. Thanks, Pedro. Thank you for taking your time, sir. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you learned a lot, and Roberto will be at your disposal 24/7. So
24/7. We have to disseminate the foldable containers because it's the future of logistics.
Right. Right, I agree, and in fact, I couldn't have said it better. That's a perfect ending statement, Roberto. So, for me, for my side, I want to say a big thank you, muchas gracias, for taking your time today, for joining us, for sharing so much wisdom, and shining a bigger light on that phenomenal concept. Really, gotta say thank you.
Thank you very much, Christoph. Thank you very much for watching us, to all the audience, and. Dankeschön in your language. And hope to attend your questions at any time. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Also to the audience from my side, thank you for taking your time for joining us today. And I see you all next time for another episode of The Joy of Logistics. Thank you, and you guys take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.